place to be. Jimmy, does that song sound something about like your message this morning? The place he has built for us, right? Beyond the crystal sea. That's what we're looking for tonight. Been a beautiful day today. We had a great service this morning. The singing we had, the message that Greg brought, the preaching, a great meeting this morning. And we can do the same tonight. I was just thinking, I was at work this week and I was carrying a ladder through this opening between some studs that we were doing, and I really didn't watch where I set my foot. Brian probably don't know about this already, but I stepped on a laser, which is a little laser we use to plumb these studs with, and I've got a ladder on my shoulder, and I step between these studs, and I step on that laser on a vinyl floor, PVC floor, a VCT floor that had been waxed. So it's like stepping on a roller skate. And it didn't take very long to be 6 foot tall and be 1 foot tall with a ladder on my shoulder. But I didn't get hurt. I got to thinking about that, how easy it is for us to step on something small, do something small, and cause a big problem. Something we don't think it's a big deal. It'll be okay. It's not a problem. And it can cause us to have a great fall. And we've seen leaders, ministers, you name it, we're all subject to that. We all, Satan's out there throwing those little pieces of plastic on the floor, if you will, in front of us to get us to slip up, to say the wrong thing to somebody, to do the wrong thing, to react in the wrong way. Just this week, I was getting on the turnpike in Kanawha City, right there coming from Lowe's, and I've got my signal light on. I turn my signal light on as soon as I start up the ramp to let people know, hey, I'd like to get in. Nobody's going to let me in. So I got just enough room to get my truck between these two cars. The guy behind me didn't like that, and he let me know he didn't like that. But, at the same time, I had Christian radio on my radio, and I said, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to hit my brakes like I'd like to. I'm not going to react like I'd like to. I'm not going to step on that piece of plastic that he's thrown out in front of me to get me to fall. And as I grow older, I hope I do that more. I hold up a little bit before I react. I think a little bit before I react. So I don't say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. I'm out there, like my dad always told us, you're out there representing me. We're out there representing him. And all it takes is for us to do that one time, and we've ruined our testimony to somebody else. And I've probably ruined several. And Brian's seen me when I wasn't on my best behavior at times. But Brian's been good enough to let me vent what I need to say, and let's go on with things. But our life is just a whole learning process, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. Whole learning process. What we should do, what we shouldn't do. I woke up about 2 in the morning one day this week and started reviewing things that I had done in my life. Decisions I'd made. What if I had done something differently? Where'd that come from? And I found a lot of red marks on my paper before I was finished. It looked like one of my tests in high school. But isn't it good that God does that for you? If he didn't care, he'd let Satan do whatever. But he can't if we follow him. He can only go so far. And then if we are doing what we need to do, he won't let us go too far. I don't know if that's good for anybody else, but there's lessons out there every day if we just look, isn't there? there's lessons every day. Our grandkids, the little kids, Branson the other day, I had to go somewhere, and Charlotte had supper with him, and Branson blessed the meal, and he blessed me, and he blessed Granzy, and he made the whole list of everybody, but he forgot to bless the food, so that he had to do a second prayer to bless the food. But, you know, he blessed everybody, which blesses me. So that's what we really need to do. We need to pay attention to where we step. You know, that really said something to me, is pay attention to where we step. And don't take that bait that Satan throws out there. It's a lot like fishing. You know, the fish thinks that bait we threw in the water is good to eat until that hook comes out. And then he knows that's not really, you know, he's been deceived, the fish have. Hopefully I can do that next Saturday with my son, deceive a few fish. But that's what Satan wants to do to us. Like Jimmy mentioned this morning in the garden, we wouldn't have to put up with all this, Jimmy, right? If that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have had to. But we do, and he's given us a way. And he's given us a way by the cross. All right, before we go any further, we need to go to prayer. We need to remember a lot of things. Remember our church. Remember our election. One of the things that we brought out in the board meeting and today is that we really need to, all of us, do our part. And if you don't have a part, find a part. There's something out there for us to do. And you think you don't have the time, well, none of us have as much time as we think we do. But there's something we can all do. And that's certainly what Christ would have wanted us to do. He asked the disciples to go out knowing what they faced. You know, compared to those folks, we've got it made. So we need to do our part. One prayer request I have, and I mentioned it in the board meeting, is I work with a guy that's a plumber on the job that I'm working on now. And my goodness, he's got two boys that, one boy's in prison for drugs, the other boy, and they're in their 20s. He's raising the oldest boy's son, his grandson now. His youngest son's on drugs too. He's in his 20s. He's went through about four rehabs. I guess he's maybe not currently on drugs, but he's drinking. So, and recently his wife was diagnosed with cancer. She's going through chemotherapy. So he's got a lot on his plate. I talked to him some time back, and I told him he needed to really get back in church. He wasn't in church, but he told me the other day he and his wife rededicated, and they're going to church and really have some hope now. So we certainly want to remember that. Anyone else?
Phil, I talked to my cousin-in-law, Evans, my cousin's wife, and he's a big guy. He's been here to church before, and he had a respiratory infection that kept getting worse, and now it's pneumonia, and they ended up taking him to the ICU, like four days, and then he had a heart attack because of this much strain on his heart. And he was just really, really critical throughout the day today, but called me a while ago and said that he was actually responding a little bit better than Jim, my first cousin Jim. I just like everybody to believe.
Amen.
He's got some health issues, and his diabetes is so much fluid that it increased the pneumonia, and it just, everything's, you know, just really adding that point.
Amen. Anyone else? I haven't. Anyone heard from Donnie Worley?
Yes, I talked to him about church, and it's not as hard.
Uh-huh.
Real busy and grown up, and he said they might release him.
Okay. So he could make it on the Wizard of Oz already. Anyone else? We want to remember the folks in Great Britain, all they're going through. I still can't grasp why people want to hurt people that they don't even know. I can't understand that, but it happens. And certainly we want to remember law enforcement they have, what a job they've got, what a job. We want to remember the leaders of our country, of course, and our state. Anyone else? Remember Stan. Dennis. Right. Yeah, I had to run in there and hug a couple grandkids real quick before I got over here. So. Oh, they couldn't have made it without me. I'll tell you a little story. It's funny. I mean, I live close enough to Luke and Jennifer's kids that I can hear them from my house, and I yell at them when I'm outside, and of course they always yell out, "Come over, Pop, come over." So I told Brian this story. I went over and I got up on the porch, and they've got a deck and porch that wrap all the way around their house, and Briar, she's the 5-year-old, she stops me. You can't go out back, Pop. I said, "Well, why can't I go out back? Berkeley doesn't have any clothes on." So about that time, here comes Berkeley around the porch, and it was true. But Berkeley doesn't care, you know. And isn't that precious? I mean, they're innocent.
Yes.
And I said, no, maybe when she gets to be about 17, she probably ought to do something different. But so I said, come on, Berkeley, we need to get your, we got her swimsuit back on and got her squared away. But really special. Briar was old enough to, hey, you know that she needs to protect her little sister. But it's really funny. Those kids are tremendous. Anyone else? If nothing else, Rob, would you lead out in prayer for us? Thank you. ahead. Amen.
Talking about
Amen. 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 Bless you, Stan. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen.
Right.
Of heaven, and they there's a book out, it's been several years, called 90 Minutes in Heaven. That's awesome. That's awesome. There's scoffers that say that, no, that's just a dream or whatever. But
yeah.
No, it's not.
Beautiful music, eternal life.
Anyone else? Randy, you have something?
Everyone stand, get a hymn, we'll turn to page 281. Shake hands with your neighbor. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home. No pain, no death can enter there. I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling home. My heavenly yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until home I see, I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home. Lest others seek a home.
Greater, yes. There trust. Trials come and you're convinced you're on your own. But the teacher's often silent while you're in the hardest test. But he'll answer when it's time with what is best.
More than all that I can even think to ask.
when I must surrender, it's time to remember His plans are bigger than my mind can grasp. But I will never know what God can do till I trust in Him to see me through, knowing He will bring His will to pass. What if we really believe that God will meet our every need, and nothing is impossible with Him? Stand before our Maker. Instead of fearing, You've been faithful. As we give account for every word and deed, He says, child, I had so much in store. If only You had trusted more. It only takes the faith of a mustard seed.
Anyone else? All right, it's time for the message. Is it Aaron?
Al, would you pray for Aaron?
Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your blessings as we gather our Father and worship. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive the word. Our Father, anoint Aaron, Lord God. Give Him the message that's needed for our hearts and minds. Lead us, our Father, and we'll praise You and thank You. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Aaron.
All hearts free. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. This is probably not a book that you are real familiar with. One of the minor prophets, 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. So I'll give you an extra minute to find it, because it's not, like I said, it's not something we look at every day. How many in here have ever asked the question, Lord, how long are you going to let what's going on in our country continue? You look at it and you think, wow. Now we look at it, we see in England, I think they had an instance in Italy. It just seems like the wickedness of this world is just rampaging. And in this particular scripture, we don't know a whole lot about Habakkuk other than that he loved the Lord and that he wanted to know how long. And he started out, let's look at verse 1. It says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He had a burden because he had a job to do. He had to tell the people of Judah, at this time the nation had separated into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was Israel, the southern kingdom was Judah. The northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And the Judah was still left there, and a little bit later, right before this took place, Josiah was the king. And Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he went back. He started doing away with the idols, the gods that they had developed. And he wanted to get back. And then later on in his kingdom, or his kingship, he found the scrolls in the temple. And they began to read the law to the people. And they began to see and understand. But he was king for about 31 years, and he died in battle. And so when he left, there was another king came in there for just a short period, and then Jehoiakim became the king. And what was going on here in Judah was Jehoiakim was a king who was looking out after Jehoiakim. He wanted everything for himself. He put people to death. He stole from them. And this is what Habakkuk was concerned with. He was concerned that, Lord, how long are you going to let... He asked God this. He asked him the question, how long are you going to let this go on? How long are you going to let this wickedness take place? And I thought, you know, sometimes we ask God questions and then we don't like the answer He gives us. And that's the situation here this prophet was in. He didn't like the answer. He got the answer, but he didn't like it. Because God told him, He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let the Chaldeans come in. And they're going to deport everybody that's in, or they're going to take, you know, your people here and take them into captivity to Babylon. And so he thought, now, Lord, I did want you to do something, but I didn't want you to do it that way. You ever tell the Lord that? You want Him to do something, and then after He does it, you said, no, that's not how I want it done. But he was concerned because he thought, how could God take these people who were so the enemy that was wicked and allow them to come in and do this? But you know, so he asked, you know, why will you use wicked people to punish Judah? And I thought of this, and you know, God gave him another answer. And I thought of this particular verse. We've seen it in the New Testament at least three times. It's recorded in the New Testament. But let's look at chapter 2. And I want to read just a few verses here, and then I'll just talk to you for just a few minutes. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Here was the prophet talking here, and then the Lord gave him the answer. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, my soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And I thought of this, and he said, it's coming. He said, tell the people it's coming, and it's going to come quickly. And I thought about our country, and I thought about, you know, our leaders, and I thought, you know, sometimes you wonder if they're in it for the same purpose that Jehoiakim was in it for. You know, what he could get for himself. And you see some of these former presidents and some of the charges that they do for their speeches, and you know, so you know, they're concerned a lot about themselves. And I thought about this when he's talking about the enemy is he's coming. You know, our enemy that we look at today is death. We feel like death is our enemy and he's on our trail. And he's not going to tarry. He's going to come shortly for all of us if the Lord delays his coming. But I thought what was so good about this is he said, you know, the enemy is not upright. He's wicked, but he went on to say, the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Now, as we look around today, and we see the wickedness that's going on in the world, it concerns us. But the person that you need to be concerned with is who? Yourself. You need to be concerned that you're just, and that you're living by faith. You know, if you looked at the word just, you'd probably, another word you could associate with it is righteous. A just person is someone who's trying to do what God wants them to do. Wanting to live by His word, wanting to do exactly what He wants him to do in every situation. Oftentimes we get in situations and we try to handle them on our own. And normally what happens? We mess it up, don't we? We get in trouble when we try to do it. But if we'll live by faith, and to live by faith means every day we need to put our trust in the Lord, whether we're on the road, whether we're at home, whether we're at a job, whether we're in school, wherever we might be, we need to be living our faith. And what is faith? What's another word for faith? Trust. We need to put our trust. Do we need to put our trust in our political leaders? You know, it's kind of hard to do that, isn't it? Because they're going to fail you. They're man. But if we put our trust in God, if we live by our faith each day, we know that God's not going to do what? He will never fail you, will he? He'll never let you down. He'll show you the way to go if you'll just ask him. So the righteous, those who are following God, and that's what he was telling Habakkuk here. He was telling him, look, I'm going to take care of the enemy down the road. They'll receive their just judgment. They'll receive that. As we look around the world today and we see those people who are killing people for no cause, and I don't like what Phil said, you know, somebody just drive along and just pull over and try to hit you or jump out and stab you or whatever. What are those people thinking? You know, what are they, what's going on in their minds? But you know, there's wickedness in them constantly. And that wickedness, you know, they may not catch them, but they're going to have to answer to a true and living God. They're going to have to answer to God one of these days. And that's what he's saying there. You know, you may live in a society that things are, you know, that he was living there in Judah and things were being stolen from people by the leaders. And he was saying, look, you take care of yourself. You live a righteous life daily, and do it by trusting in me. You don't want to trust in man. Man will fail you every time. They'll try to help you as much as they can, but man will fail you. But God will not fail. And I thought of another thing he was talking about here in the next verse. He talks about a proud man. The scripture in Proverbs tells us about what happens to somebody who has pride in their life. And I always had trouble with people who had a pride spirit about them. I mean, I've played ball with a lot of athletes, and I'll share a little story with you. I had a running back in college that he was all about him. and little guy that, you know, you wonder what made him tick, but I knew what made him tick. He wanted a 1,000-yard year. And I was playing in the line, and I thought, you know, here I am blocking for this guy. He's the guy who gets all the glory. And, you know, offensive linemen, you know, you don't get any glory. You just, every now and then you might knock somebody down and they'll get it on the film or something. But I thought, you know, he came back to the huddle one time and he says, "You guys have got a block. I'm not getting a yardage I need to be getting." I thought, yeah, I know what you mean, buddy. So on the next play, it just happened to be on my side of the ball. And I just happened to miss my guy, you know. And I didn't ever even said anything to him, but I looked at him. He got the message, you know, that if it wasn't for us, he wouldn't have had any yards. But I thought, you know, I never did really care for people who had a lot of pride. I mean, I think people should be concerned about how they present themselves, but you know what I'm talking about. Somebody that's just, you know, just. But I thought here, he talked about, yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is in, as death, cannot be satisfied, but gathereth up unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. But he said, this guy's got pride. The enemy has got proud. He was talking about Babylon here. They were going to come in. And in one place in the scripture, it says here, they were going to do like a dragnet and just bring everybody back into Babylon, into captivity, just like you would a fishing. You throw out a dragnet, what do you get? What do you get, Charlie, when you drag net? Everything that's in there. And that's what he used as an example. You see, that's what's going to happen to Judah. They're going to drag net you. They're going to drag all of you and take you into captivity. And he said he's going to be proud, but he's going to face his day. What does the scripture say about pride? Pride goeth before what? No. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit goeth before a fall. So if you see somebody that's pride, that little running back that was back there, he had a lot of pride that he was going to get his 1,000-yard, but you know, he took his fall there, and then I think he began to understand what the guys up front were supposed to be doing. But I thought, you know, here it is. Even in any situation that we're in, and whatever's going on around about you, whatever wickedness is going on in the world, the just, those that are righteous, shall live every day of their lives by faith in a God that can take care of every situation. Faith, having that trust, and knowing that he is going to supply. One place in the scripture says he'll supply all your needs according to what? His riches and glory. He'll supply every need that we have if we have faith in him. If we keep our trust in him and we live for him every day. So what Habakkuk has come to see here, and he told there in verse 1, he said, I'm going to just sit here and watch and see what God is going to do. But what God was going to do was he was going to allow the enemy to come in, take them all into captivity. But he said, well, not everybody deserves that. Not everybody deserves being robbed by this king to start off with. Not everybody deserves, because there's good people. I truly believe today that, you know, America has a lot of faults. But I truly believe that the reason we're still here is there's good people that are still holding on to their faith. They're living by faith every day. So I believe that that's why we're still here. And I truly believe that, and Paul used this particular scripture. He quoted it. He quoted it in Romans. He quoted it in Galatians. And he also quoted it in Hebrews. But what he was saying was this. You know, live every day. I think it's important for us to live every day as though it was our last. Because it could be. We need to live every day by faith and put our trust in Jesus Christ, because He's the one that can take care of us and He can lead us through whatever's in front of us, whatever's blocking us. There are times in our lives and when we lose a loved one especially, you know what gets us through that is our faith in Jesus Christ. In knowing that, I thought as they sang this morning and Jimmy talked about heaven, and he mentioned about, in the song about being in the room with your mother as life was passing. And I thought I experienced that back in 1982, February the 1st. I went into a room and I knew my mom was shortly to leave here, and I had a cousin, he's passed away since then too, but he came in, he gave me the scripture, and he said, "Aaron, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, you know what he said we would be? We'd be of all men most miserable." And I held on to that, and I thought, I'll get to see her again. If I live by faith, if I keep my trust in the Lord, I will get to see her again. And those of you that have lost loved ones that you knew were saved, Steve was talking about the grandfather, wasn't it, Steve? And you know, it's just a hope that we have And in another place, it says it's peace that does what? Passes all understanding. How can you be peaceful when you lose a loved one? Because you know where they're going. You know where they're at. I was preaching my grandmother's funeral. My grandmother was the first one who took me to church. I'd go to church with her. I'd go to their, what'd they have? They made blankets. They sewing. I would go help them as they were making blankets as a little boy. But she was the first one that took me to church. But I was preaching her funeral, and the thought came to me of the peace that I had, because I knew where she was at. And before the funeral, JT had already told me, he said, "Now here's what the three songs I'm going to do. This is how the Lord works." And I'd finished and I heard him tell Patty Miller was playing the organ, and says, "Let's do peace. Peace, wonderful peace." I thought, I knew where my grandmother was going. I knew where JT was at with the Lord, because he was listening to what he said. And I don't know, through the years of the times, that he would come up with a song that just fit the situation perfect. That's when you know that person is doing what they're doing in the Spirit of the Lord. And that's who we need to have in all of our election that we're about to do. Is you pray for these people. You say, "Aaron, they're just men and women." They are. But they need to be guided by the Holy Spirit in everything we do or say. So, you know, if we will, as we go down through life, Always remember the just. Try to live righteously. Live each day, shall live by faith in God. Then whatever's going on in our life, whatever's going wrong in our life, He can take care of it. And He wants to take care of it. So you be much in prayer. And I want to share one other thing. I've had a rough go the last 6 months. And last Sunday night, when I left the service, I talked to Jimmy and Rob and Al, and I told them, I said, I don't know where I'm going to go from here. I said, I don't know if I should step down and get clear out of the way or what I need to do. And they gathered around me in the parking lot and had prayer. Now, I believe in prayer. But after 6 months, you kind of start to question, Lord, are you going to ever bring me out of this? And I want you to know that this week has been the best week that I've had for 6 months. You say, wasn't there prayer? I'm sure they had a lot with it, because it just, you know, it weighed heavy on me, because I didn't know which direction to go. I thought, I can't continue on. You know, I took a month coughing spell, and after you've had this surgery, coughing's the last thing you want to do. But you know, I haven't coughed at all for a week. And I just want to thank the Lord that I know any one of you would have done the same thing, would have gathered around and had prayer, and you did a couple of times earlier. And I'm just thankful that I know who to put my trust in. You know what? Satan was sitting right here pecking on my shoulder, and you know what he was telling me? You need to quit, Aaron. You need to get clear out of it. You need to just stop and take it easy for a while. Well, you know, I don't want to do that. So you keep praying that God will keep strengthening, and that whatever happens, it'll be for His will, for His glory. And I want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. If you're here tonight and you feel a need to come pray, maybe something's going on in your life, I got three guys that I guarantee can get through for you. And I know there's many more of you that can get through, but you just continue to pray that God will lead and direct. As we get a song, and if you have a need to come and pray tonight, you feel free to come as we stand and as we sing.
Everyone stand, get a hymnal, turn to page 51. 51.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? You can turn Him away. How lost I would be. Without him, I could be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Anyone else have anything you'd like to share before we're dismissed?